God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
It really is. A lot of great songs sung this morning. I like that old song, "Oh Come Magnify the Lord with Me," because nowadays it makes it easier to see him. I know, what is this today? January 31st. Is it too late to make resolutions?
No, sir.
I think I'll make a resolution to worry more. Because that really worked out well for me last year. You know? Right. That's not it. You ever watch a program where it says it takes you behind the scenes of things? It'll show you a concert, but it'll take you behind the scenes, or somebody's life, a star's life, and take you behind the scenes or something. And it seems like we always just see what's happening in front of us. Or what, we see what's happening in the front of somebody's life. We don't see what's happening behind the scenes. There are the workings and the encouragements of those that have been so saving. Should I use that word? We see one thing, and yet we don't see what happened behind the scene that caused that what we're looking at to be real. David talked about Abraham. All we read is about Abraham. You know, you read about Sarah giving birth when she was 100, and it says, "And Sarah gave birth." I thought, well, that's pretty easy. And at the time, Sarah just gave birth. It just happened. Oh, how many women out there who have given birth could just say, "It just happens," right? You all know what she goes through. I'm sure Sarah at the time was saying, "You know, hey, I'm 100 years old. You really think this is a great idea?" I didn't expect it to be like this. Thank you, Lord. What a such a wonderful word. But there was a time when I made a phone call a few weeks, month or so ago. I lost track of time, sorry. Where there was a working behind the scenes that brought life and a saving grace to me that didn't really take me out of my circumstance. Isn't that amazing? You know, we walk with the Lord and we keep expecting things to be taken out of our circumstance. But the Lord doesn't look at it that way. The Lord says, "I'm going to meet your heart in your circumstance." And I called David up a few months ago, or a couple of weeks, whenever it was. And it was a behind-the-scenes save. Thank you, David. Let's look at Isaiah 53. This is one of my favorite chapters, albeit not one that you really read when you're trying to bring new converts to the Lord. It's not one that you see preached very much. Because it gives you a behind-the-scenes look at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Isaiah, and it's on page 1186. I'm sure you all have the same Bible line. If you can't find it. I'm going to read out of the Message version. There's a Bible that's called the Message. I don't know. This is a dual version, a New International Version and the Message. And I like the Message version because it kind of just puts everything in plain language. Isaiah 53. Who believes what we've heard and seen? Who would have thought God's saving power would look like this? The servant grew up before God a scrawny seedling, a scrubby plant in a parched field. There was nothing attractive about him, nothing to cause us to take a second look. He was looked down on and passed over, a man who suffered, who knew pain firsthand. One look at him and people turned away. We looked down on him, thought he was scum. But the fact is, it was our pains he carried, our disfigurements, all the things wrong with us. We thought he brought it on himself, that God was punishing him for his own failures. But it was our sins that did that to him, that ripped and tore and crushed him, our sins. He took the punishment, and that made us whole. Through his bruises, we get healed. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing and got our own way. And God has piled all our sins, everything we've done wrong, on him. On him. He was beaten, he was tortured, but he didn't say a word, like a lamb taken to the slaughter and like a sheep being sheared. He took it all in silence. Justice miscarried and he was led off. And did anyone readily know what was happening? He died without a thought for his own welfare, beaten bloody for the sins of my people. They buried him with the wicked, threw him in a grave with a rich man, even though he never hurt a soul or said one word that wasn't there. Still, it's what God had in mind all along, to crush him with pain. The plan was that he gave himself as an offering for sin so that he'd see life from it. Life, life, and more life. And God's plan will deeply prosper through him. Out of that terrible travail of soul, we'll see that it's worth it. He'll see that it's worth it, and he'll be glad he did it. Through what he experienced, my righteous one, my servant, will make many righteous ones, as he himself carries the burdens of their sins. Therefore, I'll reward him extravagantly, the best of everything, the highest honors, because he looked death in the face and didn't flinch. Because he embraced the company of the lowest, he took on his own shoulders the sin of the many, he took up the cause of all the black sheep. Don't judge the gift by how it's packaged. You may miss seeing the Lord. It's not really the way we present the Lord to people. We want to say how great and wonderful God is and how, you know, and he is. He truly is. But the scripture says there was nothing in him that would draw you to him. Unless you saw the gift. Unless you saw him as Peter did. In that one moment when he said, Lord, where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we've come to know that you are the Messiah. Well, isn't there a scripture? Isn't there a story? If someone could find it perhaps, where there's a call to a wedding feast. And I don't know if it was a young man who was throwing the wedding feast and he asked people to come and they gave excuses. And he said, well, you know, I just got married. I can't come. I just got married. I just bought a field and I got to work it. And they all gave excuses. So he said, well, go out among the highways and the byways and drag him in here. Invite those who shouldn't be invited. Grab those that people wouldn't give a second look to. Bring them all in. And as we were worshiping this morning, I got that sense and that feeling. When they attended that feast, there were some who were still lame, some who were still blind, some were still feeling downtrodden without hope. But they were gathered together. I felt, you know, that's what it is. We expect a service or our movement or whatever to look a certain way, don't we? We expect the service to go a certain way, and we expect that. I know as a teacher, it was expected of me to, the principal could come into my classroom, and she was supposed to be able to see a certain thing going on, and that would be considered a great classroom. If I can come in and observe this happening, that teacher's really on the ball. And so what do? You try to find out when the principal's going to show up so you can have all those wonderful juggling acts going on. And then when they leave, you go, where they left. All right, back to normal. And yet God says, don't cover up the lame, the halt, the blind. Come on in. You know, the scripture says, whomsoever believes in the Lord shall be saved. At one point in time, we were all part of that whomsoever. And we still are. I was talking with Brent Finney this morning, and he said something to me. He said, you know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He doesn't have any grandsons. All he has are sons. God is going to establish a relationship with my children. Why do I think I have to try to get it going? Try to manipulate it. Try to forge it. After all, if God was able to get a hold of me, we should be able to get a hold of them. Thank you, Lord. You know, don't you love it when that light bulb goes on and you just go, oh. Don't judge the gift by how it's packaged. You may miss seeing the Lord. I think it's easy to... There's a story I'd like to share with you. These students are going through a lunch line. And at the front of the lunch line is this big, beautiful basket of red, ripe apples. Just gorgeously presented. Beautifully placed. It's all in the presentation, isn't it? It doesn't matter what you're serving. That's just gorgeous. As they're going through for the lunch, there's a sign next to this beautifully laid out basket of red, beautiful red ripe oranges, apples. It says, take only one. God is watching. So they take one. Oh, they get their meal, and they go down to the very end of the line, and there's this box. And it's not even the box that this food item belongs in. And in this box is a bunch of crumpled and broken cookies. Chocolate chip cookies that have chips missing. Don't you hate that? You get the chocolate chip is missing. They're broken. They're all different sizes. Some are just little crumbs. Some are a little bit bigger. But none are completely whole. And there's a sign that says, take as many as you want. God's watching the apples. You know? But the truth is, God's watching all of them. God has taken the responsibility for you. So don't you sometimes feel like you're one of those broken, crumbled up cookies? God must be watching those beautiful red apples in that fine presentation. Just look at that. My gosh, I just don't know how that person does it. They look so wonderful every Sunday morning and every time I see them. Boy, they just must be so full of faith. So, you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. It's when you look behind the scenes, would you still be there? When you see the Lord as he is, of course, he's highly exalted. Of course, of course. But if you're to see him broken, you know, there's really not much in this guy that draw me to him. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Okay, it's been fine up until now. You know, I really loved it when he gave me the bread and the fishes. In fact, when we woke up that morning thinking he was going to feed us again and give us some breakfast, we discovered he had gone to the other side of the lake. Hey, let's row over there. Let's go. There you are, Jesus. How did you get here? And what was his reply? You didn't seek me because I gave you the word. His reply was, he said, you came because I gave you the breads and the fishes. There comes a time where the Lord comes and reveals what's really in our heart, why we're seeking him. And yet we've embraced him as he is. And we embrace one another as we are. Don't judge the gift by how it's packaged. You may miss seeing the Lord. Look around you. Don't judge the gift of God that's here in each and every one of us by the outward package. You may miss seeing the Lord. You may miss seeing the Lord moving. God at times appears in many ways and can speak in many ways. I remember, wasn't in the Old Testament, a prophet was going off the wrong direction and says his ass spoke to him. Right? What was that? Balaam? Or a lot of asses speaking behind pulpits these days. But it didn't come out right. But the Lord can use and does use everyone. He's putting a gift within you. Says we have this treasure. Where? In good, shiny, presented vessels. In the vessels that are shined up and looking good, and that we know that God has his eye on. No, we have this treasure in earthen vessel. It's easy to look and see and accept that in someone else. But today I want you to say to yourself, there's a gift in this earthen vessel. I'm not going to judge the gift that's in here, that's in you, by how it's packaged. Because you may miss seeing the Lord in you. If I was only taller, if I was only shorter, if I was only thinner, if I was only this old, if I only dressed like that, if I only had this, No. It's not that at all. When you look at the kingdom, the marriage feast of the Lamb, it's those who were drawn in from the highways and the byways. There's another story in the Old Testament. It talks about two lepers sitting at the gate, or I think some city was being sieged, taken upon by an enemy. And they sat there and they said, you know, if we sit here, we'll die. But if we go over to where the enemy's camp is, we're going to die too. But at least maybe we'll get something to eat. At least maybe something will happen. You know, let's get up and go over there. And it says that on the way over there, the Lord made their footsteps sound like the hooves of many horses. And the enemy fled before them. And says they took the plunder and spoil of their enemy. It's funny, it never says their leprosy left them. It says they got up and they said, you know what, we're not going to judge ourselves. We can sit here and do nothing. We can go over there and do something. But we're going to do something. God doesn't necessarily always remove you from your circumstance. But he meets you in your circumstance. Daniel, the three Israel children who were thrown into the furnace, Daniel in the lion's den. I don't know if God's going to meet me or not. I don't know if God's going to save me or not. But I'm not going to bow down to anything else. Was there an unsureness? I mean, we would be calling up the elder. What do you think? Is God going to meet me? What do you think I should, you know, it's a good idea for me going to the lion's den. You think God's going to meet me in there? You know, maybe I should pray about this more. You know, before you throw me in there, pray about it some more. Because I really don't know if God, are you sure? You know, Lord, you showed me when I was younger that my descendants would be like the stars of the heaven and the sea, sands of the sea. But wasn't Abraham a man who just wandered around and sojourned? You know, was it really a good idea? Lord, you called me to walk with you, and look at me. I've grown old. I can't, you know, I have a hard time getting around. I wear clothes that every time I wash them, they shrink because they don't seem to fit me anymore. Can't remember where I left my wallet. I can't. Don't know where my car keys are. I have a membership to a GPS on my car because I just can't find anything anymore. Are you sure you did the right thing, Lord? Of course he's sure. Of course he's sure. John the Baptist, a man who was given a word that he would see the Holy Spirit ascend on he who was to come, on him who he was not worthy to untie his shoe. John the Baptist, who did not deny being the Lord when they came to ask him, "Are you the Messiah?" He proclaimed that he wasn't. Baptizes the Lord, says, "Aren't you afraid you're losing your own disciples? They're more going to Jesus. Aren't you a little afraid? You know, come on. Admit it. It really bothers you. He's getting more disciples than you. Come on. You can tell me." He says, "No, I must decrease. He must increase." Who later, when he's arrested for speaking the word and standing up for what was right, sends his disciples to Jesus and says, "Ask him if he really is the one." Do you ever get those times, those feelings? Lord, are you really sure? I'm not that young 18-year-old kid that you met out of high school. I'm not that same person. You know, I run into people and I say, "Yeah, you look really familiar." I'm thinking about just wearing a permanent name badge. You know? Although being known as Jerry Horning's husband is an honor. Jesus sends back and he says, word back to John. He says, "You go back and tell John, those who are deaf are hearing." You go back and you can read that scripture. You know, everything that I said would happen is happening. You can go back and tell John. Take comfort. Everything, I am him. I am. I'm him. So his disciples leave and Jesus looks at his own disciples and what? Did he rebuke John? "Oh, that John, come on, after all I showed you, you know, you leapt in your mother's womb when you saw my mother approach you. Come on, no. He says, "What? On earth there's none greater than John the Baptist. It's okay to let the Lord know what's going on behind the scenes in you. He knows anyway." Well, if I just put up the right front, if I just say the right thing, if I just proclaim the right thing, if I just... No, it's all right. The Lord blesses John. You know, You ever get that feeling you think maybe God made a mistake? Who said that this morning? God, there are no mistakes? Are you... I mean, I have. What time is it? I'll tell you the last time I said it. You know, are you really sure? He goes, yeah. Of course I am. I know you look different. But you know what? I'm not judging the gift by the package, how it's wrapped. I'm responsible for the cookies and I'm responsible for the apples. You know, God's responsible for your life. It's one thing God has done. He's taken responsibility for you. I love the fact that the Lord does not have a spokesperson to come out and explain what he really meant. You know, you listen to people in the news, politicians, whatever, they say something and then within an hour or the next day, let me explain to you what he really meant to say. You know, Jesus didn't really mean to call you all vipers and your father's the devil. No, I'm sorry. He wants to send forth a statement saying that if he offended anyone, he's... Yeah. God doesn't have to have someone come out and fix what he says. But God means what he says. He says what he means. He stands behind it. And if he says he loves you, if he says that you're my chosen, if he looks at you and he says you're that little precious stone. But Lord, I feel like a broken cookie. Yeah, okay. That's all right. But Lord, I feel like a bright red apple. Well, that's okay too. That's good too. But what the Lord has said is true. And I'll leave you with anything this morning is don't judge yourself by what you see. You're outward, you're but you don't know. You don't know what I say or what I do or how I feel. Yeah. But that's okay. When I read in the Psalms where it says, and I cried unto the Lord, and I brought to him, and I lamented, and what else? Read what David says about, you know, that's okay. The Lord knows all that. Accept what the Lord has done. Accept what he's doing in your life. Don't judge yourself by what you see outwardly. Believe what God has said. He talked about Abraham this morning. He believed in the promise. He believed the promise of God. Didn't take into account, you know, he believed in the promise. One last scripture, the last ending of Romans. It says, and not only in this do we exalt, but we exalt in our tribulations. Because tribulation springs forth perseverance. And perseverance brings forth proven character. And proven character brings forth hope. And hope does not disappoint. For we have the love of God poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Who while we were yet helpless... I love that. While we were yet helpless, Christ came at the right time. Gave himself for our sins. God always arrives on time. May not be our timetable, but he always arrives on time. Amen? Amen. Lord bless you.